Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 108 of Season 8 of Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Joe Amedee, the CEO of Virgil Films Entertainment. Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Howdy. The weather hasn't changed here at all, by the way, just so you know.
Well, that's the way it is all week, you know.
Yeah. So how was this minute?
So minute 108 begins with Ryan reassuring Miller of who he is and ends with the men of the 101st getting an update.
Yes.
We ended things yesterday with Miller wanting to make sure that Ryan is the Ryan that they're looking for. Are you the Ryan we're looking for?
Well, Ryan it's not a complicated name, and I'm sure there obviously were many Ryans because a few of them died already, and they all came from one family, so he had to make sure.
Right. No, I months ago, I decided I was going to try to, see if I can find from the census, like how many, James Ryans there were in the 1940s, in America. And I wasn't able to find the information.
I'm sure there was a lot.
I believe so, too. That makes sense. Not so simple.
But they did find them.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So. Miller says to him, James Francis Ryan? And he goes, yes, sir. And he says, of Iowa? And he goes, yes, sir, Peyton, Iowa. That's correct. But now, it's funny that he mentions the name of the town. He says he's from Peyton, Iowa. Sorry. He mentions he's from Peyton, Iowa. So in the subtitles of this movie, so they spell Peyton, P-A-Y-T-O-N. So I was searching for that. And I couldn't find it because there is no Payton in Iowa, but there is a Peyton, Iowa that's spelled Paton. That's in
and pronounced Peyton. Wow,
it's pronounced Peyton. That's right. It's in Greene County, and it's pretty small. It has what do you think the population of Peyton, Iowa is? Or was in 2020?
In 2020?
Yes.
Probably less than 5,000?
A lot less than 5,000.
Less than 1,000?
Less than 1,000.
Well, the Ryan family was wiped out, so.
Well, they have one of them that survived, and we know he has, two or three grandchildren. So.
But do they live in Peyton or Patton? That, how far?
In 2020, there was 221 people that were living in Peyton, Iowa.
220. Wow.
Yes. Now the ironic thing is that if you look at, I have the demographics of the population of this town, city. It's probably a town. Since the census of 1880. So in 1880 there were 84 people that were living in Peyton, Iowa. Okay. the number got the highest in the 1920s. In the 1920 census, it had 414. And then in 1940, it was 394, which means that we know there's at least three less in 1944.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. You're right.
But then from the 80s on, it has been below 300. It's been a steady decline. Since the 1950 census, it's always been in decline, except for between 90 and 2000, where they had an extra 10 people move there. There was 255 in 90 and 265 in 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a pretty small town.
It's a very, very small. It looks like it's northwest of Des Moines. Which would be western, Des Moines is the biggest city in Iowa, I think. which would be Western Iowa, which was so not far from, not far, not when I say not far, out there, 100 miles isn't far. 200 miles is a little bit far, but not far from where your guest from It's a Wonderful Life, Mary Read, Donna Reed's daughter, grew up. And Donna Reed grew up.
Oh, wow.
And not far from the John Wayne homestead, which I believe is in Winterset, Iowa, where they now just opened up a museum where John Wayne's boyhood home stands still.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So maybe one of the Ryans, you know, knew the Morrisons, who later became John Wayne. Who knows? You never know.
It's very true. It's very possible. So in 2020, there were 93 households in Peyton, Iowa. And about 26% of them had children under the age of 18 still living with them. 46% are married couples. 9.7% were non-married couples. 20% had a female householder with no spouse or partner present. And then almost 24% had a male householder with no spouse or partner present.
So you know, you wonder, the story is based on a true story?
No.
I didn't think so.
On a true story, but it uses elements from true stories. It uses elements about
the Sullivans. But where would they come up with this town?
I don't know, maybe Robert Rodat was familiar with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously probably a farming community, you would think, because Iowa's filled with corn.
Yeah. And he didn't have Wikipedia when he was writing this in the 90s.
That's true.
You know, so he might have just said, okay, let's find a place that's going to be in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. And then he took a dart and threw the dart at a map of Iowa, and it came with it. Well, Peyton. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, but it's probably the town is so small, it might not even be on. I mean, it's going to be on maps, but it's going to be on really, really small lettering. Anyway, so
that's true. And 12% are people that were living alone, 65 years and above.
Now that's a lot of coverage you got there, pal.
Why not? Isn't that what we're here for? To get the coverage?
Iowa, it's where dreams come true. Baseball fields and baseball players coming back to life, and it's heaven.
That is true.
I've actually been there too.
WP Kinsella.
WP Kinsella. Shoeless Joe.
That's right. And at this point, we get a long shot of Miller talking to Ryan, and we can see that Miller is basically taking him off to the side, you know, away from everybody else. It's not like really distant from everyone else. They can still overhear it, but they want to give the sense of privacy, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Have this little conversation between the two of them, which I think is a great thing to add in here. You know, just take him off to the side, you know, even if it's just, 20 feet away or 30 feet away or whatever it is, just you're a little bit further away and we're going to talk about this. You know, that type of thing. But I like the way that they do that. And then Ryan asks, well, what's this all about? And at this point, Miller has decided that, you know, he's got to be straightforward. And he goes, your brothers were killed in combat. He goes, well, which ones? All of them. And then he looks at him and goes, on the level? Are you familiar with that phrase, on the level?
Sure.
Did you use it?
Yeah, I've probably used it. Yeah, on the level basically means you tell me the truth.
Right. Are you speaking truthfully or honestly?
Yeah.
Probably used
more back then than it is today. But yeah, I'm very familiar with that term. And it's perfect for this moment in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, well, I mean, this is a long time before Alan Funt, but he would say, where's the camera? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's
Sure,
all
and the
three.
camera.
I mean, how could that possibly happen? How could all three? I can understand one, I could probably understand two, but all three? I mean, think about that. What is going through his character's head at that time?
That's right.
Disbelief above anything else, until you realize that it's actually, it really has happened.
Yes. Well, actually, with the story of the Sullivans, I think all of them were killed. So
Yeah, they're
just,
all killed. Yeah.
and then obviously, if you go back to Bixby, they weren't all killed, even though the letter states that they were. After, back then, obviously, in the during the Civil War, it was they didn't have Facebook to find people.
Right, exactly.
More difficult. It took you years to figure out, who's still alive and who's not.
Right. It's a gut-wrenching moment. And it's handled pretty well. A lot more is going to happen because of all this, but yeah.
And then Miller says something that also shows the humanity of Miller. He goes, "Well, if there's someplace you want to go, and then he trails off. We know that he's basically saying, if you want a private place to go, just to go cry,
Yeah.
to let your emotions out, where
Yes.
you don't need to show all the other guys around here the issues of what you're dealing with," which I think is. It says so much about Miller that he's giving him this opportunity, even though Ryan doesn't need it, as far as we know,
Right.
at this point. But it's just nice that he even thought of the idea of saying, "Well, if you need a place, just go off to the side. It's perfectly okay." He's giving him permission to grieve at this point, which is really, really great. And then the shot changes, and we see a few of the others, soldiers from the 101, discussing the situation. And, one of them goes, "What's this all about?" And the other one goes, "Ryan lost his brothers." And he goes, "Which one?" He goes, "All of them." So I actually gotta say, I love that they've added this little bit in with these two characters, with these three characters talking, because what it tells us is that Ryan has been in with these guys for a few days now, because we know from the from the tale that Michelson slash Mendelssohn said, because we're not sure what his real name is, because he's listed, in the credits as one, and then someone calls him Mendelssohn, and then whatever. So the It goes to show that he's only been there a day or two, or as far as we know,
Right.
and he's had conversations with these guys, whether they're on guard duty or whatever it is, but he's told them about the fact that he has three brothers that are enlisted that are fighting somewhere, either in the Pacific or on in the European theater.
Right.
So this is like a known thing that Ryan's got three brothers.
Yeah.
And I like that little detail, because it shows it develops the situation and these characters even more, because it says, okay, this is a guy that we just knew just for a few days, but we already know about his brothers. This isn't his unit.
No.
That's the whole thing. I mean, that's one of the things that Michelson said, that they just grabbed a whole bunch of guys and took them to Ramel. It's
Sure.
not that they're a set unit or anything like that. It's not like, I'm assuming you've seen Band of Brothers,
Yeah.
and the idea there is, okay, these guys went through so much together that obviously they know each other and they know their family histories, and I mean, at the end of I've mentioned this numerous times, but at the end of this podcast, I have an interview that I've already recorded with George Luze Jr., who is the son of one of the Band of Brothers.
Oh, wow.
And he talks about the fact of, the bond that these men had for decades afterwards.
Yeah. Sure.
And here, and here we have, that's right, we have characters that just met a day or two ago.
Yeah.
But they all know that.
Enough to know that he has, that he had brothers fighting in the war.
That's right. That's right. I don't think that would be like the first thing that I would discuss with somebody, you know, if I'm, you know, if I'm in a new place. I wouldn't start talking about my family members right away.
No, but you probably would within the first day. I mean, because you're fighting in the war. If especially, it all depends. If there's downtime and you're just sitting around all day, okay, are you married? So, you know, are you this? Are you that? Guys,
that's right. But here are three guys that know this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a group of guys that know it. It's not like there's one guy that I just spent a lot of time and I really bonded with this guy and told him my you know my life story of living in Peyton, Iowa. You know, where with what's her name? Alice Jardine, you know, like,
yeah,
but yeah. You know, just the way that this plays out is just great from that perspective, because it just this little back and forth between these three guys tells us so much about Ryan and also about the bond that these guys have in this particular situation that they're in.
Yeah,
and I love it.
Yeah, that's true. Little touches.
Yeah, that's right.
Great screenwriting.
For sure. There's no question about that. And, you know, as these guys are talking, the minute ends.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So did you have anything else you wanted to mention about this particular minute?
No, I am good. I am real good.
You were real good. That's good that you're real good. Okay. So every Wednesday, we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guests will give their top five World War II movies. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Top five World War II movies. The first, the number five would be Platoon.
That's not a World War II movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought I read war movies. Right, World War II movies. I got a whole bunch here. So there is number five is going to be a German film called The Bridge, which is hard to find. But it is about a bunch of young Hitler youth. Can't wait to get into the war. And it takes them through training until where they have to protect a bridge, and bad stuff starts to happen. Very hard film to find, but I saw it when I was really young, and it had such an effect on me that I carry that effect to, you know, through to today. Really good film. Stark, black and white. Nobody's in it of any consequence. But yeah, that would be number five. Das Boot, the boat, would be number four.
Okay, we talked earlier in the week about extended versions or not. Okay, what
I'm
do you think
only talking.
Version?
I'm always only going to talk about original versions. What really? I saw in the theater. What I saw in the theater. Yes.
Really? Like, if you think that the theatrical versions of Lord of the Rings are better than the extended versions?
I've never seen the extended versions. Lord of the Rings to me is one and done.
Okay. Okay, that's fair.
Classic Hollywood World War II movie called Battleground.
Oh, love that movie.
Yeah.
Ricardo Montalban.
Now, I gotta say The Great Escape.
Of course you can.
But The Great Escape would be number one, and number two would be is Schindler's a, would you call that a war film, or would you just,
of course I would.
Then Schindler's would be number two.
Okay.
And Great Escape number one.
You put The Great Escape as your number one movie? I don't know.
Well, you know, again, everything is, you know, tomorrow could be totally different. Schindler's would be, I mean, Schindler is the best film out of them all.
Right.
But I'm not going to watch Schindler's every day.
So you're saying I shouldn't do that one minute by minute?
Ooh, boy, that would be tough. No, I wouldn't do one by minute. I mean, you could. It's a phenomenal film. Imagine dissecting every minute of that film. Nah, No, I want to be happy sometime.
Well, it does have a happy ending. You know, the
It has an emotional ending.
it has an emotional ending, but it shows, it gives you hope. That's the idea of it.
It gives you hope. Yes, it does.
So
Yes.
from that perspective, yes. Okay,
Yes, sir.
that is a great list. Thank you very much for that. All right, so Joe, would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Sure, you can find me on my website at virgilfilms.com, or you can email me at joe@virgilfilmsent.com. And other than that, I'm around.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Tally ho!
In my solitude, you